Well, we're in our third week of the series, the Holy Spirit series, and I will tell you that in your notes, if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I always encourage you to do so. We will not get through all of the notes today. I have not successfully gotten through all the notes in any service, and the trick is trying to close around the same area, because then I'll have four services to try to figure out where. And so I've made it all the way through thought number one. Okay, and so next week we'll pick it up with thought number two. But just letting you know, because some of you really get stressed if you see the time going away and there's still blanks to fill out. And so I just want everybody to take a deep breath. We'll get all the blanks. Okay, you'll just have to be here next week, no matter what kind of weather we're having. That's all. be good. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit and. And as we're talking about it, we're taking our time because we don't want to rush it. And when you start talking about things like the Holy Spirit, it can get confusing. It can get, there can be some anxieties, some fears regarding the Holy Spirit because we all come from different backgrounds. We did just an informal poll here a few weeks ago and found that we have people in this congregation everywhere from being raised Mennonite to being raised in some of the more charismatic churches and everything in between. And the beauty of that is that we've all come together to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're all worshiping together, and we are a body of Christ. We are a family of God working together and growing together, and it's a beautiful thing. The other side of that story, however, is that sometimes we say the same thing and mean different things with it. The vocabulary that we use is slightly different. And so as we talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about how the Holy Spirit works in us, to us, and through us, sometimes there can be disconnects. And so I encourage us to just relax, to open up our hearts and our minds to the Word of God and to one another as we're talking about these things. And let's come together as the body of Christ in our understanding of who He is and what He is and what He's doing in our life. And at the close of lesson number one, we said that we don't need to fear the Holy Spirit. And I gave you a reason for that. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8 says, God is love. Now, we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. We talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God in action. And so if the Holy Spirit is God and God is love, then the Holy Spirit is love. And we may not understand all that He teaches. We will not comprehend everything that He does. We may not like everything He says or how He moves. And we may even question at times how He chooses to reveal Himself within our lives and in the world. But if we know that He is love, then we understand His motivation. His motivation is love. And understanding the motivation of someone allows us to be open to their expression. And, you know, years ago, whenever Christy and I first got married, we had to learn how to talk together and communicate with one another. And what I've learned over the years, I just shared that we've been married 22 years now. So what I've learned over the years is that everything Christy says to me will not be something that I will like. I know it's different in your relationships, but that's how it works in ours. Sometimes she says things to me that hurt, that are frustrating. Sometimes she says things to me, but if I know that it's coming from a standpoint of love, it's easier to accept the expression. I learned this the first time whenever we had first gotten married. See, prior to marriage, I had been traveling from church to church kind of as a guest speaker in different churches. And then when we got married, she started traveling with me. So I got done preaching one day, and we got in the car. This is her first time with me, and I said, how was that? How did I do? You know, I wanted some feedback. Probably more wanting her to be in total awe of her new husband. And she said, you did fine. And then she started talking about important things like the weather and pollen levels and stuff like that. And I was like, a little while later, I said, hey, babe, I asked you how I did. I want to be a good communicator. I want to do things well. And so, I want you to give me some real input. And she's like, okay. I have never asked her for this again. I just want you to know. But on that day, I did ask her for that. And so we were out, and a couple of weeks later, we were preaching at another church. And so we communicated, and then we got in the car, and I said, how did I do? And so she reached into her purse, and she pulled out her paper. You said, 36 times. You said, 19 times. You started three sentences that you never completed, so I have no idea where you were trying to go with that. Point number two does not make any sense whatsoever. Really, what were you trying to say there? Because I don't know. If I'm a halfway decent communicator, you have Christy to thank for that right now. Well, the drive home was roughly 3 hours and 22 minutes of silence because I was angry. I was angry because she had just told me exactly what I had asked her to tell me, which she reminded me of frequently for 3 hours and 22 minutes. You said you wanted this. It frustrated me, but I understood that she loved me, and I understood that she wanted me to be successful in what I was doing and as a communicator. And so the next time we went and spoke somewhere, I begrudgingly looked over at her and said, how did I do? She took out her paper. You said 36 times. You said 3 times less in this service than you did in the previous time. And that's how we did it for a number of years. When you know where someone's coming from, what their motivation is, you can accept what they're saying at a different level. And when you know that the Holy Spirit is love, and the Holy Spirit wants to bless you and minister to you as well as through you, then how He operates in our lives becomes acceptable as long as we understand His motivation. So our big idea today is this: the Holy Spirit gives unique gifts to believers. And it's important for us to come from the place of knowing His motivation and understanding that we come from all kinds of different perspectives, because when you start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it can become a little controversial. And as we're talking about it, it's important for us to fully understand that we as a church are Christ's body on the earth. It's who we are. It's what He's created us to be. A few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was in the waters of baptism where John the Baptist was baptizing Him, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove. And we talked about how those words, like a dove, in the original language, says a fluttering. So the writer is trying to give us an understanding of kind of what this looks like, what this would have, the picture. He's trying to paint a picture for us of what it looks like. It wasn't a literal dove coming down from heaven, but there was a fluttering that occurred. And when that happened, the Holy Spirit indwelt Jesus. And from that moment forward, Jesus was doing miraculous signs. He had not done miracles until that point. And now He's doing miraculous signs from that time until the end of His ministry, end of His life on earth, right to the point where He was risen from the dead and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. So you have Jesus doing amazing things. Well, a similar thing is talked about dealing with believers, dealing with the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? So the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, and He began to do things that He had not previously done. And in Acts chapter 1 and 2, we read about the birth of the church, where the Holy Spirit descends upon the church, the believers that are gathered in that upper room on that day. And from that point forward, those believers begin to do things that they had never done before. You see, prior to this Holy Spirit descending upon the church, you see the apostles doing some miraculous things as Jesus had given them the authority to do that in the particular time. But after this, Jesus isn't there any longer. The Holy Spirit descends upon them and abides with them. And from that point forward, you see them doing miraculous things. You see them operating in a more powerful and a more unique manner than any time before. It's a beautiful example of how the Holy Spirit works through the empowered church. And so as we're talking about these gifts, we have three gifting categories, if you will, that the Holy Spirit blesses us with or gives us. We're going to talk about all three, but focus on one particular one through most of the service. The first is the office gifts. The office gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us the listing of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are office gifts. Now, these titles are used differently in different faith cultures. And so sometimes somebody can say apostle or prophet or pastor or teacher and mean one thing while you might understand it as another. I'll give you an example of this. I was preaching one time in a church that was predominantly African American. And as I was preaching, the gentleman who had introduced me to the pastor, who subsequently invited me to be a guest speaker, his name was Mr. Brown. I was probably 25, 26 years old at the time, and Mr. Brown could have easily been my grandfather. And so I referred to Mr. Brown during the sermon at one point, and I called him Elder Brown. Now, when I said Elder Brown, I meant he is an elder. He's older than I am, and so Elder Brown. Well, when I said Elder Brown, all of a sudden, everybody started talking in the church. Literally. It was like I wasn't talking anymore. Everybody was just having conversations. And people were poking one another. And Mr. Brown was on the front row saying, "Don't put that on me. Don't put that on me." Which I was looking at him saying, "I can't change your age. I don't know what to do for you." And the pastor started saying, "He's not an elder. He's not an elder." I didn't have a clue what was going on. But I knew I had done something very bad. So I said, "Excuse me, hold on, folks. I don't know what I did, but I take full responsibility for this very bad thing that I have done. But would somebody please tell me what I have done so I do not repeat it?" Well, they then let me know that in their culture, to say someone was an elder was giving them spiritual authority in that church. And so it was an entirely, I was just saying he is an old dude. Looking back, he doesn't seem that old anymore. But at the time, and so that's all I was saying. But their culture caused them to hear that in a different manner. The office gifts may be used in different ways and referred to in different ways, but they're there. Now, we have this thing called Growth Track here at McCord Road Christian Church, where we have week number one is our membership class. Week number two is a class regarding how to live a strong Christian life with basic principles for living. And week number three is a definition, identifying of the gifts of God in your life and how to properly use them within the context of the church, that and not just this church, but the church at large. So that's what those are. If you want to become a member or even just see what that looks like, you'd go to week number one. We encourage everybody to go all through all 3 weeks, but each one of them has a particular purpose. If you are interested in learning more about these gifts, there's more detail about them in week number three of Growth Track. So that's office gifts. The second category of gifts are the serving gifts. Romans 12 talks about the practical gifts that the Holy Spirit gives in order to help other people. Things like the gift of administration. Some of you fall down and have more coordination and structure in your life than people do on purpose. It's just a gift in your life. Other people have the gift of craftsmanship. You throw things at a wall and suddenly beautiful furniture come out. And you know, I work hard for months, and this crooked little thing comes out, and people wonder what that is. You know, somebody said to me recently that I feel like I have the gift of giving. It's a serving gift. Help and mercy are also included in these serving gifts. These are gifts to help other people. And then you have the category of gifts that probably gives people the most area of concern and most controversy within the body of Christ, and that would be the spiritual gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so look at 1 Corinthians, and this is kind of where we'll spend most of our time this week and next. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, and then verses 8 through 11. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. A few weeks ago, we talked about how there is one Spirit. There's one God, there's one Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So he's saying the same Spirit is the source of the gifts that Paul is about to talk to us about. He says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. If you grew up in a King James world like I did, that would be the word of wisdom. Okay? To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, or the word of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, or in King James Version, that would be in other tongues, okay? While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, or the interpretation of tongues. It is the one and only Spirit. It's almost like Paul is trying to remind us consistently, hey, we're still talking about the Holy Spirit. This is still talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do not forget, this is the one and only Spirit. So this isn't from other spirits. This is from the Holy Spirit, who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And one of the phrases used around McCord Road for years before Christy and I ever came here has been that we believe that all the gifts are available to believers, but not every believer will be used in every gift. But we thank God for the gifts that He gives to His church. And we want to be used in every gift that God will allow us to be used in. We want to both experience it and to express it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right, just making sure we're all still here. Hallelujah. So I'll give you one thought. I would say three, but it would be a lie. So thought number one, and I try not to lie on Sundays. Pastor Benton, this is a rough crowd this morning. I'm sorry. You're with me. Thank you for laughing at that bad joke. Thought number one, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the common good. For the common good. And in your notes, you could underline the word common. Every gift is given by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of blessing the whole. God wants to bless everyone with the gifts that He gives the individual. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, that word manifestation is not one that's used commonly today. So what does that mean? It simply means how it's expressed. The Holy Spirit is an invisible thing. You cannot see it. So how do you express something that's invisible? You express it, Paul says, through the gifts that are given in your life. The Holy Spirit gives this gift to you, and you express it by operating within the giftings that the Holy Spirit has given you. And God designed for these gifts to be shown in His church, to be lived out in His church. And that means that there's a unique purpose of every single gift. There are no big gifts and little gifts. There are no gifts that are more important than another. Now, some faith cultures and some faith customs will elevate a particular gift above another, but that's not a God elevation, that's a culture or custom elevation. And we have a tendency to do that, don't we? those things that we personally attach ourselves to. So there are gifts that are widely accepted, given by the Holy Spirit and widely accepted. The first gift that we can talk about is the gift of wisdom. That's what your first blank there, the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom brings truth and guidance, and it results in God-honoring application. So there are some people who just have the ability to drop nuggets of wisdom into your life and help you navigate things that otherwise you would just really struggle to navigate. They seem to just have a grasp and an understanding of things in a unique way. Secondly, the gift of knowledge, or the word of knowledge. It's the awareness of spiritual truths. It provides clear direction in our lives. Some people just know stuff. My papa, my grandfather used to say, "You know some stuff." And that was a high compliment from him, because there was a lot of people who he didn't think knew much stuff at all. And so he'd say, "You know some stuff," or "They know some stuff." Sometimes people just have a wealth of knowledge that's been dropped into their life. Now, sometimes wisdom needs to be used with knowledge. Wisdom is how you use the information that you have. My dad sometimes will tell the story. I don't remember this, but he will tell the story about how I have always been truthful and never particularly shy, which isn't always a great combination. And so one day we were coming home from somewhere, and we had flown in it arrived at the airport, and my dad was loading up the car, and he said he looked around and he didn't see me. And he looked down the walkway, and there I was standing, just literally standing in front of a gentleman, just looking up at him like this, just standing and staring at him. And the gentleman was apparently acting like I did not exist and just trying to ignore me. Maybe if he ignored me, I'd just go away. And so I'm standing there, and my father, not knowing what I was thinking or what I was doing, not knowing why I was staring at this man, quickly made his way toward me in order to get me, you know, into the car. And he said, as he made his way over there, he heard me say to this gentleman, "Well, you're just a big old fat man, aren't you?" This is knowledge, but no wisdom. I grew in wisdom over the years. But we've all been in situations where the child said something that the parents wished they hadn't have said. It's not that they were telling a lie. They were telling the truth. They just didn't know when to use that truth. Moving on. The gift of discernment. Discernment. That's spiritual clarity and divine insight. It's the ability to see if something is positive or negative. And over the years, I've learned to rely on this gift in my wife's life, Christy's life. Well, she sometimes will say to me, maybe just at a glimpse, she'll look at it and say, "Something feels off about that." Or, "Something feels right about that." And I tend to take that into serious consideration in decision making, because there's a gift of discernment there that I've seen over the years. Then how about the gift of faith? The gift of faith, which brings a sense of confidence and trust, a sense of hope into a situation. It's an inspiring gift. It encourages everyone. That gift of faith. Sometimes people can just believe for things. It's a beautiful thing. Now, some gifts are controversial. And next week, we'll talk a little bit more about some of those gifts. But these first four gifts, I don't know anyone who considers them very controversial. And it could be because they fit nicely within the concepts and context of our culture and society in general. I mean, most of us would welcome somebody dropping wisdom into our life and saying, "Hey, I've got some insight that I can share with you." We don't really shy away if somebody says, "Hey, I know something about that, that I can give you some more knowledge regarding that situation." If somebody were to say, "Man, you may be making a bad decision here," we would listen. And how many of us would like to be encouraged by someone else and that gift of faith kicking in? And in all of this, we don't, it doesn't bug us too much because it fits. And in fact, unless they said something like, "Thus saith the word of the Lord," before they gave us some encouragement or of knowledge or wisdom, we wouldn't even know they were using that gift. In fact, some of us in this room probably pay counselors, therapists, coaches, consultants to give us insight that we don't already have, to give us understanding that they have gleaned. And if they're using the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life, we wouldn't even know it. But yet the Holy Spirit could be working in them and through them. It's just more palatable in our world than maybe some of the other gifts. But I want to give you three truths regarding all the gifts, even the ones that would be more, quote, weird, end quote, that we would struggle to understand more. Three truths, and then we'll close. The first truth is that all gifts are given for the common good in reception and application. So when God gives you this gift, it's for the common good in Him giving it to you and in how you express that, how you apply that. I'll give you a for instance. We'll talk about this more next week, but I grew up in a culture where someone giving a tongue and interpretation was not completely abnormal. It didn't happen all the time, but it happened sometimes. So someone would give a message from God in tongues, in a language that they did not learn and could not understand. And then someone else in the congregation would give an interpretation of what they had just said. I'll tell you some funny things that happened with that over the years, but that was not completely out of the realm of possibility. But if that was not within the context of the culture, then it could cause more harm than do good. So if God gave that gift to someone, it would be for the common good, and so it would need to be both received for the benefit of the whole and applied in a way that benefited the whole. And that brings us to truth number two, that the application of gifts will be unique to culture, but should be present in all faith cultures. So whenever I left the culture in which that was normal, and I began pastoring in cultures where that was not as normal, in fact, mostly had not happened at all, then people would say, "Wait a minute, the gifts are not in operation in that church." And I would say, "Yes, they are. They're simply not in the application in the way that you're accustomed to them being applied. This is for the benefit of the whole. It's unique to culture." So somebody may still speak in tongues and someone still may have an interpretation of what they said, but it would not be in the public forum in the manner that someone may have been raised in, including myself. It should be available and present in all faith cultures, but the application of the gifts will be unique to that culture. Just like me saying the word elder in that African-American church caused turmoil, and I never did it again, so would applying a gift in a way that would not benefit the culture of that church cause turmoil in that church. Thirdly, the use of gifts will benefit the common good, not the inclination or reputation of the individual with the gift. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are not so that people can look at Micah Sutton and say, "Isn't he awesome? He's used in that gift." Now, I know that's a temptation that everyone is fighting right now. But that's a joke. That was better than you responded. I'm just telling you. It's not so people can look at us. In fact, if the gift that we're using brings attention to us, we're operating out of the wrong motivation. And I've seen more trouble in that area within the context of the gifts of the Holy Spirit than maybe any other area. Because most believers are open to the Holy Spirit talking and moving and working within us. But it becomes difficult when somebody says, I want to be used in this way, in this manner, and express it in this specific way. And if somebody were to say to me, well, Pastor, where I come from, this is how we do it, and this is how I feel it must be done, or I can't be a part of that body. Well, then I would say, respectfully, you probably can't be a part of this body. Because we're not where we are not where you came from or where I came from. We are us. Isn't there a show called This Is Us? Well, this is us. I've never seen the show. So if I just made a bad reference that you're going to send me emails about, understand that I've never seen the show. So here we are. This is us. And it's our job to come together as the body of Christ and do things that elevate and honor one another. Can somebody say amen to that? And so in doing so, the Holy Spirit is going to work. And the gifts are going to be in operation. In fact, every gift that I'm aware of is in operation in some area or manner of within the context of this congregation. But it may not be how we are accustomed to it. Our motivation must be to bring glory and honor to God and not build the reputation of self. Desire to use gifts in ways that lift ourselves up versus benefit the whole would never be in alignment with the gifts of the Holy Spirit as given by God. So as we get into this, I encourage us to just relax. Be open to what the Holy Spirit is going to do and will do in our lives. He's a good God. I can't wait to talk to you about it more next week. But I'm out of time. And some of you are out of patience. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. I'm blown away by what you're building at McCord. It's beyond us. But you give your gifts to allow us to stretch beyond what we could naturally know or comprehend or even understand. Holy Spirit, we're open to you today. Do in us what only you can do. We're not trying to make anything happen. And we're not trying to stop anything from happening. We just want you to do what only you can do in our lives. Use us for your glory. We humble ourselves to receive according to your will. And we humble ourselves to apply according to your word. We give you thanks and praise for that in the awesome name of Jesus. And let everybody say amen. Praise God. Let's stand our feet. Prayer partners, would you come forward? We're going to close in song today. If you need prayer for anything at all, I encourage you to come forward and let us pray with you in Jesus' name.